Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and welcome to all of you watching this at home or wherever you happen to be. What a beautiful day God has given us to worship Him on this beautiful Sunday morning as we have officially entered into the season of spring as of yesterday. And the sun is shining and the birds are chirping, and it's like every year at this time of the year, the whole creation experiences a mini resurrection. You know, and as we anticipate Easter, just a couple weeks from now, it's like all of creation worships God together with us today. And so what a blessing it is to be here and to be focusing on those things. Today in our worship, we are going to be following Divine Service Setting 1. And it's all printed there in the bulletin for you. I invite you to stand as we begin with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with the intro, it's spoken responsively. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. I love the Lord because he has heard. Because he indicated his ear to me. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. Then I called on the name of the Lord. For you have delivered my soul from death. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, Let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Please remain standing as we sing our Lenten hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, beginning with verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak the words of the gradual. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. The epistle reading today is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. For every high priest chosen among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also, Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. This morning, we will use the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is Christ Sits at God's Right Hand. Please stand. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for the sermon today is from the epistle from Hebrews chapter 5. And what this passage really does is it discusses Christ in his role as our great high priest, and really also makes the argument that Christ is greater than any of the high priests that ever served in that office, in that position, going all the way back to the days of Aaron, the brother of Moses, who was the first high priest that Israel ever had. Jesus is greater than all of those other high priests because not only does he stand in as a mediator between God and humanity, but Jesus also offers himself as the greatest sacrifice, and his blood covers all of our sin and gives us life and salvation. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you know that feeling you get when it seems like you're the only one in the room who just doesn't really understand the conversation that's happening all around you? It's kind of an awkward moment, right? You know, when it seems like everybody except for you is understanding the references, the inside jokes, you know, whatever is actually happening. It's like there's an elite club all of a sudden and you're not in it. You're on the outside looking in or listening in. I think that this is a pretty common experience. We all feel this from time to time, probably at very specific times too. You know, like if you're spending time with your spouse's family, your in-laws, right, or their friends, or, you know, just people you haven't grown up with. Or maybe if you have an opportunity to join a new organization and you're just getting to know everybody. Or if you move to a new place, right? It can take a while before you actually start to get the conversations and the references and everything happening all around you. I can definitely say that I've had that feeling from time to time, off and on over the years, mostly because I've had to move so often, you know, for school and for ministry. It can take sometimes a couple months, sometimes even years, before you get to that point where you feel like, you know, if somebody says, remember that time when, and you actually might be able to remember it because maybe you actually were there, right? But it takes a while to get to that point. I'm really thankful that at this point here in Hoyleton, you know, I've been here now a little over 4 years, so I don't feel exactly like the newbie who doesn't know anything anymore, you know, but it really was a learning curve 4 years ago when I moved here. I can remember this one conversation that I had with Brett Jones, who used to serve as our school principal back when I first moved here. And if you remember, I came in December, so it was the middle of the school year. So while I was just getting my feet wet, Brett and I were kind of team teaching the confirmation class right away. So we had to, you know, coordinate that and talk about the schedule coming up. And, you know, he just kind of casually said, oh yeah, you know, we're going to have that first Monday in March off of school for Casimir Pulaski Day. As if that was a normal thing that everybody should understand. And so I had to stop him. I'm like, Casimir Pahuski? Like, and, you know, that's when he had to explain to me who Casimir Pulaski was. I mean, no offense to any of our Polish friends, but that's not exactly a household name everywhere else. And so I learned all about this great Polish-American revolutionary hero, and I learned about the parade that happens down in Dubois, you know. And don't get me wrong, I have no problem with Casimir Pulaski getting his own day and having the day off of school. That's fine with me. But it was just surprising, you know, because I grew up in New England. Revolutionary War history is a big deal up there. I actually grew up in a town that had a lot of Polish people in it. And I swear, I've never heard of Casimir Pulaski until that day I was talking to Brett Jones. So, you know, that's just an example, right, of what I'm talking about. It takes a little while before you really get to understand all the references in a new place, especially if those references are a little obscure, right? And I don't know about you, but I feel that oftentimes when we read certain passages of Scripture, sometimes we might feel that way when we think about, you know, understanding all of the many references to ancient Jewish culture and ancient Jewish history that we read about in the Bible. As 21st century American Gentile Christians, it's hard for us at times to really understand what was going on in the minds of the people that we read about in Scripture, or what's going on in the minds of those who wrote down these words for us. Certainly, we are united with them by faith in Jesus Christ, But there's a learning curve, right? It takes a little while for those of us who were not raised in ancient Jewish homes by ancient Jewish parents learning all about ancient Jewish history. There's certain blind spots that we have along the way. I think this especially becomes obvious whenever we have an opportunity to read from the book of Hebrews. I mean, it says it right there in the name. The letter to the Hebrews was intended for, primarily, Hebrew Christians, right? Jewish Christians, people who would have had a common experience and understanding, would have understood all of the references. This is intended for you and I as well, but maybe secondarily so, as Gentiles who have been grafted in to God's true Israel. So it can feel at times like we're sort of on the outside looking in when it comes to a passage like this one. And I'm especially bringing this up today because I feel like this particular chapter, Hebrews chapter 5, is one where it's really, you know, hard for us to kind of figure out what's going on at first glance. This passage says some amazing things about Jesus, some really wonderful and important things about Jesus. But unless we fully understand what it means to have a Jewish high priest, which we don't, and unless we fully understand things like Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, then some of these really powerful and important things can get lost on us. So let's take some time to dive into this and see what we can learn today about what's going on here. So in the first verse of this passage, and you can kind of look along with me if you'd like in the bulletin, but in the first verse it says that a high priest is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God. So right away, we're confronted with this idea, which if you're a Jewish Christian, this makes complete sense, needs no further explanation. But for us, maybe we need to think about this a little bit more. Throughout both the Old and the New Testaments, we're familiar with this concept of there being priests, right? Priests who would serve in the tabernacle, and then of course later on in the temple, and the things that the priests would do, they would offer prayers on behalf of the people to God. They would offer sacrifices as well to atone for the people's sins. We're used to this. We're used to hearing about this. But the high priest was a little bit different. Just a little bit. The high priest was the one man who was chosen to represent the entire nation of Israel. He was the mediator between God and his people. So this is a really big job, right? And there's a lot at stake here. Especially when you consider the fact that every single high priest who ever served in that position was a sinner, right? High priests are human beings. They make mistakes. They have sins that also need to be atoned for. And so that's where we introduce the concept of Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur was the one day of the year when that high priest was allowed to go into the most holy place in the temple sanctuary. He brought with him the blood of the sin offering. He would sprinkle that blood on the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. And that blood would atone for his sins and for the sins of the entire nation of Israel. Okay, again, something that if you're a Jewish person who celebrates Yom Kippur every year, this needs no further explanation, right? It's interesting that in the rest of this passage, starting in verse 5, the author of the letter to the Hebrews shifts and starts to make the argument that Jesus is the greatest high priest, greater than any of those who have come before him. And basically, as you read through the rest of this passage, you see that there are three main reasons why the author to the Hebrews considers Jesus this great high priest. The first two of those reasons are things that are very, very familiar to us, you know, even though we are Gentiles. So this idea that Jesus is God's son comes up right there in verse 5. It's also mentioned in verse 8. So Jesus is greater than all the other high priests because he is the Son of God. Makes total sense, right? And then the second reason you see mentioned in verse 9, Jesus is greater than the other high priests because Jesus is perfect. So Jesus doesn't have any sin that needs to be atoned for. Jesus is actually the one who becomes the source of salvation for all of us. Okay, great. Then the third reason. Verse 10. Jesus is a great high priest because he comes after the order of Melchizedek. Gesundheit, right? Melchizedek. Who in the world is Melchizedek? Have you ever even heard of Melchizedek before? Can you remember ever hearing in Sunday school about the great Melchizedek? We actually sang a hymn just now as the sermon hymn where the second verse ended with the word Melchizedek. I couldn't believe I found a hymn in the hymnal that mentioned Melchizedek. Who is this Melchizedek? Well, Melchizedek is basically the Casimir Pulaski of the Bible. Because essentially, he's a really obscure historical ancient Jewish figure who is not mentioned very often, and we don't know that much about him. You have to be really well-versed in ancient Jewish history to even remember that Melchizedek exists. Everything that we know about the actual Melchizedek, we learn in a very short passage in Genesis chapter 14. Basically, what was going on at the time was that Abram had just returned from a big battle. He went out to fight against multiple enemy kings because he was trying to rescue his nephew Lot. He was successful. He was victorious. He comes back from that battle, and then one of the allied kings, a friendly king, was Melchizedek. He was the king of the city of Salem. And he comes out to refresh Abram after his big battle. He gives him bread and wine. And it tells us that not only is Melchizedek a king, but it also says that he is priest of God Most High. And that's it. That's all we learn about Melchizedek in Genesis 14. But actually, for the purposes of this passage in Hebrews 5, it's actually enough, because the point that the author to the Hebrews is making by bringing up this obscure Melchizedek is that not only is Jesus the great high priest who offers himself as the sacrifice to atone for the sins of the whole world, but also because he's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, it means he's also a king. In fact, he's the King of Kings. And he does for us something even greater than the real Melchizedek did for Abram. Jesus comes to restore us. When we are weary from our battles with sin and death and the devil and all of their terrible effects on our lives and on this world, Jesus comes to restore us. He appears as our king and hands us bread and wine. Except that bread and wine is more than just bread and wine. It is his own very body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins in Holy Communion. So, by serving as our great high priest and by standing in as that ultimate mediator between God and humanity, what essentially Jesus does for us then is he welcomes us into that exclusive club, into God's club. And he gives us full access to God so that we're no longer feeling like we're on the outside looking in. He sends us his Holy Spirit. He brings us into faith. He brings us into the church. He makes us his people. He gives all of us as believers a common experience so that we don't have to go through this life on our own, fending for ourselves, trying to figure out everything by ourselves. It's just like Peter says in his first letter, that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Yes, even those of us who don't have a single drop of Jewish blood in our bodies, we have been welcomed into this church, this nation, by a different, greater blood, by the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And being brought into God's club means that we have certain special privileges. Privileges that are even greater than the great high priests of history. Because we don't have to wait for Yom Kippur. We don't have to wait for the Day of Atonement to stand in the direct presence of God. When Jesus breathed his last on the cross, the temple curtain that separated God from humanity was torn in two. The wall of separation that sin had created in our lives was destroyed for good. The gospel, the good news of life, forgiveness, and salvation comes to us directly through the power of the word, through the gifts of the sacraments. These gifts are ours to keep. They're also ours to share. Our Lord has gathered us into a tight-knit spiritual community called the church. We are very, very thankful for that. But at the same time, as Christians, we are always open to welcoming new faces, to welcoming new souls to join us. And so we pray that the Holy Spirit would use each and every one of us to bring others into the club too, so that together we can praise the one who is our great high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. In his most holy and precious name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. A few updates to our prayer list that I'll share with you. We continue to pray for Janelle Small. Thanks be to God, she had successful surgery last week, and she is back home recovering. We are also including Margaret Arning in our prayers today. Margaret was hospitalized last week with some heart and blood pressure issues. She is now back home. They're still working to get to the bottom of what caused those issues, so she is in need of our prayer. Not listed in the bulletin, but we will continue to pray for Chris Shaw, and that is Brad Nierman's daughter. Chris has been suffering from a rare disease that has left her paralyzed. We are giving thanks and praise to God today for two baptisms, one for Harbor Ann Eichmeyer, that is the newborn daughter of Mitchell and Haley Eichmeyer, and Harbor was baptized on Friday evening. And then also Elliot Schneider, that's the son of Kevin Schneider, and Elliot will be baptized later this afternoon. Let us stand and go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, in these Lenten days, we ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us to write your word on our hearts, that we might know you as the God who forgives our iniquities and remembers our sins no more. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, bless and sustain Matt Harrison, our Synod President, Tim Schar, our District President, Pastor Tim Miller, our Circuit Visitor, and all other pastors in Christ, who, like us, are beset with weakness. Grant that they may deal gently with us and keep them faithful in proclaiming your word. Bless the efforts of our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and also our sister congregation, Faith Lutheran, in Mount Vernon, and their pastor, Matt Richard. Father, we also ask you to bless our day school ministry and the call process as we seek the person you have chosen to be our next school administrator. Lead us and guide us according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you watch over, protect, and defend us through the service of others. Bless, we pray, the men and women who serve in the police force and in emergency services, who, like your son, are often called on to lay down their lives for us. Bless those who serve in the armed forces of this nation, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Cody, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your great gifts here in this earthly life. We especially lift before you all those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Sydney, Ryan, Peyton, Jennifer, Frank, Lynn, Keaton, Timothy, Kelton, Steve, and Gandon. Lord, we also praise you for the new birth that you grant to us in holy baptism. Be with Harbor Ann Eichmeyer, who was brought to the font on Friday. Be also with Elliot Schneider, who will be baptized later this afternoon. Help them to grow in faith and grow closer to you each and every day. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, as your only begotten Son learned obedience through what he suffered, we pray that you would bless, sustain, and relieve all who suffer in our midst, including all those who are on our prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, and Brian. We lift Janelle before your throne as she recovers from her surgery, and also all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, Margaret, Marvin, Matthew, Amy, Beulah, Cheryl, Verdell, Jim, Richard, Teddy, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Greg, Linda, Eileen, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Norma, Chris, all those who are fighting cancer, and all those who have been affected by the coronavirus, that walking in the way of the cross with your Son, they may know the fullness of his eternal salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, you have delivered our souls from death, our eyes from tears, and our feet from stumbling. Comfort all who mourn with this truth, that they may not grieve as others do who have no such hope. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Reminder that if you brought your tithe or offering with you today, you may place that in the basket in the narthex. At this time, we will sing our offertory hymn, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. Please stand. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is Abide, O Dearest Jesus. At this time, I'll invite our Sunday school teachers and students to dismiss over to the school. Good morning. Just a couple announcements I have to share with you before we leave today. It is certainly a busy time of the year with a lot going on as we get closer and closer to Easter. Tonight, there's going to be a special YPS night. It's going to be mainly so that we can get prepared for the Easter sunrise service. So we hope that high schoolers, YPS youth will join us at 6 o'clock over in the Activity Center. And then coming up later this week, it is the return of the Confirmand questioning service. So we were not able to do that last year. And this week, the service will begin at 6 o'clock rather than 7 o'clock, and that's because we want to get started earlier. There's a little reception that the PTL is putting on for the Confirmand's families, and so we want to make sure it's not too late of a night, especially since it still is a school night. So we're going to start everything at 6 o'clock. There are only, as of right now, 4 spots left available for that service. So if you are planning to come and you haven't signed up yet, you want to grab one of those last 4 spots. Otherwise, join us virtually, join us online. A lot of times when we do the Confirmand questioning, the Confirmands always hear comments from people who like to say, you know, when I had to go through questioning years ago, it was a whole lot harder, right? But you guys never had to do it online being broadcast to the entire country, right? So this is a new thing. So let's give them some slack this year. Along with that, then, coming up to Holy Week, there will be a Palm Sunday worship service, which will be the confirmation service. As I mentioned last week, we don't have any more room here in the sanctuary for those who want to join who are not already included as one of the Confirmand's families. But we will be offering a simulcast of the service in the gymnasium. Sunday school students are also going to do a Palm Sunday processional in there. So if it's part of your family's tradition to worship on Palm Sunday, and you don't want to do that just sitting home on your couch or just with your immediate family, you can certainly come to the gymnasium that day. And right now, you can go on the Sign Up Genius on our website, and you can sign up for a spot over at the gym. Thank you all for understanding that we had to do it that way and differently this year. And then coming up after that, we'll have Holy Week services. All the times are printed for you there in the bulletin. Easter lilies, if you would like to donate an Easter lily, we're going to have those dropped off on Holy Saturday, which is April 3rd this year. Come by here at church at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. If you need to order one of those lilies, would you please talk to Elaine Spenner about that? Looking ahead to Easter Sunday morning, we are not able to have the traditional youth breakfast as we normally would, but the stewardship board has graciously decided to provide some coffee and donuts that day. So in between the worship services, the 6:30 sunrise and the 9:30 divine service, if you'd like to join us over in the Activity Center for some coffee and donuts, you're certainly welcome to do so. There will also be Sunday school happening at that time as well, 8:15, 8:20-ish, somewhere around there. The last thing that I wanted to mention today is not to forget that Vacation Bible School is going to happen this year. It's coming up at the end of June, but we are already looking for registrations for that, for both participants and volunteers, and we really want to know what your t-shirt size is so we can make sure we order enough of every size. You can go right now to our Facebook page and find the registration link there, and I understand that the link will also be made available on our website shortly as well. So please consider volunteering or sending your child to Vacation Bible School. Rainforest Explorers is the theme this year. Any other announcements that I forgot to mention? Okay, if not, enjoy this beautiful day. God's blessings to you and your family this week. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us in worship today.
We hope to see you next week. Have a blessed week.